If you would turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to take just a few moments tonight to encourage ourselves in the value and blessing of the prayer meeting. Why is it good for God's people to gather together for prayer? I've shared with you a few of these things, and I just couldn't help but think about, in the fact that the Lord's coming is near, what does the Bible have to say about prayer in the last days? I want to take just a few moments tonight. Our theme verse for this series is Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Father, I thank You so much for this passage of Scripture. I thank You for the privilege and blessing of gathering together as a corporate body to pray and bring each other's requests to each other and to uphold them before Thee, our wonderful Savior, our provider, our need supplier, our strength, our paraclete, our Redeemer. Lord, we could go on and on with the wonderful titles that are given to Thee in Your precious Word. And we're thankful that we have Thee to lean upon and to cast our cares upon. I pray that we might be encouraged tonight as we consider this passage of Scripture, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse 14, as we said before, takes place immediately after the ascension of Jesus Christ. What were they to do? Their Lord, their Master, their leader is gone. They watched Him ascend up into the clouds, and they look at each other. What are we going to do now? Well, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, Dr. Bob Senior used to put it this way: if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Well, that's dealing with the issues of life. You're struggling with a particular thing. I don't know whether I should go to this college or that college. Well, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Do what? Pray. And that's what they did. They gathered together in one accord, as it says here. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were strong and steadfast. That word continued there could easily be translated that way. It's in the periphrastic, which means continually devoting themselves strongly with one accord in prayer. They gathered together and they encouraged each other in prayer. What does the Bible have to say about prayer in the last days? Think about some of these passages as I share them. Luke chapter 18 and verse 7. We're at the end of the book of Luke. We're moving to the time, and this is the passage that leads up to His great teaching there, the Olivet Discourse, where He talks about future things. And this is what He says: "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" What is going to be the remnant in the last times? They're going to be known for their crying day and night unto Him. Cry there could be translated their praying. They're calling out to Him both night and day. Prayer is going to become more and more important to the true child of God. Now I say this, I put that condition in there, because we're living in deceptive times. People who've made claims that they're Christians, but they don't look like Christians. They don't act like Christians. The world is their canvas. And they're out there painting their own life and whatever. There are a lot of deceived people that think they're Christians. But for the true child of God, as we approach the time of the Lord's return, you're going to find that prayer is your friend. Prayer will be your stay and strength. It should be already, but sadly it's not like it ought to be. But it takes persecution many times to purify the church. Always has been. The church has always grown stronger during times of persecution. It's been the good times role that the church gets weak and gets self-dependent, becomes independent of God, does its own thing, lives like the world, and then when the trials and difficulties come, we don't know how to behave. We don't know what to do. But for the child of God that loves God, it says, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" Luke 21, right in the middle of the Olivet Discourse. "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. Now, particularly, this is to Israel. But there are many Gentiles, folks, that are saved during the tribulation period. So it's not just the Jews here that's in mind. It's many of the Gentiles that are saved during the tribulation period. And he says, then watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy. What leads to them being accounted worthy? What action in their lives prove their worthiness? Their prayer life. Their prayer life. Why? Because they show by that they're completely and totally dependent upon the Son of God, their stay, their strength, their comforter. They prove by the way they live that they belong to God. How you live teaches more than what you say. You can say a lot of things, and we've got a lot of talkers in this world. We've got a lot of talkers in... Thing, there was a gentleman that got up who was a pastor of another church that was there, and they asked him to get up and say a few words. And first things out of his mouth, we're all gathered there. They had a pastor that led in prayer from a good Bible church over there in Pensacola, just a small church. But boy, he prayed with fervency and zeal. And then this guy got up there and said, by the way, we just want to let you know that on Thursday we're going to have a Christian comedian going to be at our church at 10 o'clock. And we want you to come and said his name. I looked him up on my phone and I cringed. Christian comedian. All kinds of worldliness. You see the pictures that he has up there and all that kind of stuff. And I just couldn't believe myself. He wanted to get his little plug in for his little thing that he was doing. And I can't have it. Where's the seriousness? We're fixing to talk about things that are destroying our country. And he wants to let us to know that we need to come see his Christian comedian on Thursday at 10 o'clock. Well, that's just not, I'm sorry, folks. But we've got to get with it. We've got to get with it. We're playing on the fringes. And we don't understand the seriousness of the moment. We need to be praying. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. This is what Peter's estimation was in the time in which he lived. This was his witness of the time in which he lived. But the end of all things is at hand. But be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now what was he telling people how to live their Christian lives way back 2,000 years ago? He said, be sober and be praying. Now things change now. 2,000 years later, we can just let it all go and do whatever we want to do and live like we want to live and talk like the world and be like a man who talks about Jesus in one breath. Then he says, the man upstairs, and he says, I'm going to go home and drink a lot of Budweiser beer. And he has been put to the forefront by the Christian Athletic Association that is on the college campuses as their hero, their Christian mentor. He goes to all their meetings. But he's got a Budweiser in one hand and a Bible in the other. And I want to tell you something, that's how a lot of people are living today. May not be a Budweiser can, maybe a bottle of wine, or maybe something else. But somehow, we've gotten away from this precious book, and we've lost what it means to be sober. You know what that word sober in the Greek translates as? Serious-minded. Serious-minded. Listen, folks, we've got to understand that in the time in which we live, it's a time of soberness and a time of prayer. I don't mean we have to walk around with our knuckles dragging the ground and frowning everywhere we go. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is let's measure the amount of time we spend on ourselves and let's measure the time that we're spending with God and look at the deficit and honestly appraise it and say, is this sober living? You know what I think we're going to find out? It's not. It's not sober living. It's not watching with all prayer, as that verse tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7. It's not watching in all prayer. It's not sober living. It's just getting all I can get out of 2016. I can get a lot of things done that please me and make my life happy. Listen, if you have to have things to make you happy, you have to be doing stuff to make you happy, then something's not right. Do you know that Paul and Silas were happy in prison? What were they doing at midnight? Yeah. I'm afraid if I were to ask, what book and chapter is that recorded? I wonder if we could share that. Acts chapter what? Same book we're talking about, the importance of the prayer meeting. Acts chapter 16. What is Paul and Silas doing at midnight? They couldn't sleep. They were hunched over. Their arms were bolted into a box. Their feet were in a box. They were hunched over. Their backs were bloodied from the beating that they had. And what are they doing? Are they sitting there? We're suffering for Jesus. I can't believe God would put us in that situation. Like some people would do. They're singing and rejoicing. And they rattled the rafters of heaven. This is what I'm talking about, serious, sober living here. They rattled the rafters of heaven, and God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shake things up down there. And He sent an earthquake. And He released His two children. Isn't that wonderful? Now, He may choose to release them another way. Release their souls from their bodies through the fire or flame. Maybe it would be through a hangman's noose or a bullet or maybe a knife to the throat. And He releases children to come on to be with Him. Whatever way He does so, it's for His glory and for His honor. But I want to say this, folks. That testimony led to the jailer and his family trusting Christ that night. Singing, rejoicing in the midst of persecution and difficulty and trouble. That's the reality that we face in our futures. I think it's very clear where we're headed. And we need to be faithful. We're not going to drag our knuckles and walk around with a thing. We're going to praise God because we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And His grace is sufficient. And His mercy is wonderful. And there's nothing that we need to worry about. Amen? Nothing we need to worry about. Just be faithful to Jesus Christ. If we fear, we fail. If we exercise faith, we succeed for God. Let that be an encouragement and challenge to us.